This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I listen to you all the time, but you have me confused. I agree on almost everything you have to say, but you're always talking about divorce being wrong. My question is, I got divorced before I got saved. Now I'm a Christian. Are you telling me that there's now no way I can go to heaven? And my Christianity is in vain because I now am remarried to a wonderful Christian man? Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we look at some of the questions that our listeners have been asking and providing. I'm so glad that you've joined us here today on Viewpoint. And we had a special guest that was planned, and for some reason he has not contacted us, so we'll proceed with this particular focus here today. The other day, we began looking at a series of questions that our listeners had provided, and I had indicated now for some time that we would provide a couple of programs to attempt to respond to some of these questions that our listeners have been making available to us. And so today, we will do that, and I have a feeling that there are an awful lot of people out there that are going to want to hear not only the questions, but the answers to these questions here on Viewpoint today. So it's caught me a little bit off guard because I thought we had a special guest here planned today, but seeing that we do not have that available, we will enter into these questions. So stay tuned. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. Let's get back to this question from Brenda. Now, before we get into her question, by the way, we're going to be focusing primarily on questions related to marriage, divorce, and remarriage here in our program today. Because, and let me tell you the reason for this, last time when we looked at answers to your questions, we looked primarily at those questions that involved issues of prophecy and prophetic application. And by the way, virtually all of the questions that we have received from people over the past weeks and months have related either to issues of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or issues of prophecy. Isn't that interesting? And so today we focus on the issues related to our marriages. Brenda again asked this question. I listen to you all the time, but you have me confused. I agree on almost everything you have to say, but you're always talking about divorce being wrong. So my question is, I got divorced before I got saved. Now I am a Christian. Are you telling me that there's now no way I can go to heaven? And that my Christianity is in vain because I'm now remarried to a wonderful Christian man? My first husband was picking up prostitutes. When my son was just 10 years old, I stayed with him for 3 years after I found out what he was doing. He never changed. I was terrified he would give us the AIDS virus because he was picking up prostitutes from the street corner. Was I wrong? And how would I possibly begin to fix that situation now? Thanks for listening. Brenda. Well, here was my short version, my short answer to Brenda, and then we'll expand on that as we go farther here in the program. Brenda, thanks for your heartfelt question. God is in the forgiving and restoration business in the midst of a wicked and fallen world. Those who come to Him with humble and repentant hearts, He will in no wise cast out. There are further thoughts generated by your email that require much more time and attention, and I will discuss the entire issue soon in a broadcast reserved for answering listeners' questions. Thanks for listening and for your sincere response. And I do believe that Brenda is providing a sincere question. Now, oftentimes, we receive questions from listeners that are not sincere. Now, you say, well, how would you know if a question was sincere or not sincere? Are you a mind reader? No, but you can discern from the way the question is asked and what it is that they're getting at. And oftentimes, a person is trying to set you up. They're really not interested in asking a question and getting legitimate information. What they're interested in doing is trying to frame the other person in order to set you up for a particular agenda. They come with a preconceived notion, and so what they try to do is get you to commit to certain things that they think then will lock you up into a theological quagmire from which you cannot escape. So their purposes are not legitimate. They lack integrity. But I would say that the majority of the questions that we get from our listeners are serious and sincere questions and worthy of response. They may be difficult questions, but that doesn't mean they aren't serious and sincere. And oftentimes, the people are in deep trouble. They're in serious problems. Just this last week, I received a call from a gentleman who has been listening to this program for quite some time, and it was concerned about a remarriage situation. There was a divorce and a remarriage, and is under great conviction over the subject, having gone into the Word of God, having seen what he did not see previously, and now is saying, now what do I do? How do I deal with this very, very difficult and painful situation? And so I am not, I want you to know that in answering these questions today, I don't provide some cavalier response, some off-the-cuff, devil-may-care kind of response, and I'm not, as if I'm not concerned about the people, the individuals that are involved. Oh, I'm very concerned about the people and the individuals that are involved. And that's the reason why we're doing this. I have no interest here in just regurgitating some kind of biblical information. The Bible is for people, friends. It's for people like you and me. Jesus took compassion upon people. But in taking compassion, oftentimes you have to apply truth in a painful way. Even doctors, who are supposed to be compassion incarnate, so to speak, apply truth in painful ways. They'll purge a wound. Pour antiseptic into a wound that caused burning. A person that has had a burn, a serious burn, will have debridement proceedings done that are exceedingly painful. Even in the name of compassion, you see. Compassion doesn't mean providing people with warm fuzzies and non-negotiable God bless yous that always make them feel good. Compassion may require providing difficult answers to difficult questions that may hurt for a while. So we need to realize that as we go deeper into these questions here today. So stay tuned. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Our viewpoint determines destiny. Our viewpoint concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage does determine destiny. It's determining the destiny of hundreds of thousands, millions of marriages in this country. And that's the reason why the divorce rate now in the church is higher than the nation as a whole. Among our pastors is the second highest of all professions in this country, and it is 50% higher in the Bible Belt of America. There are reasons for this, my friends, and perhaps those will come out here as we answer some of the questions today. Stay tuned. It's Viewpoint. We'll be right back. Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're answering your questions, questions of listeners over the past several months as we deal with the most difficult issues that touch our hearts and homes. Last week, we did a program answering your questions dealing with issues of prophecy and also the issue of eternal security. Today, we talk about the issue of divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. By the way, on our website, saveus.org, you will find a 7-page outline dealing with the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It is a rather complete outline, what you can do in 7 pages, and basically gives the overarching biblical perspective on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I think you'll find it fairly complete, and it doesn't contain a lot of efforts to try to undo or get out from under what God says. It doesn't contain a lot of rationalizations about what God says, but it does contain what the Bible says about divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So avail yourself of it. You can print it out. In fact, you can make copies of it if you like in its totality and provide it to friends and others. Use it even with a Bible study, a focus on that in a small group if you'd like to. What the Bible really says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Well, let's get back to Brenda's question here. I provided a brief answer in the first segment of the program. Let me reiterate the question for those of you who are just tuning in. She says, I listen to you all of the time, but you have me confused. I agree on almost everything you say, but you're always talking about divorce being wrong. Now, let me respond to that. Why do I talk about that? Well, for one thing, the Bible says so. You see, God hates putting away. Now, when God hates something, he hates sin. The Bible says God hates sin, and he hates putting away. Now, putting away is another way of saying divorce. God hates divorce. Now, why is that? Because God ordained marriage. It's one of the creation ordinances. In fact, it's the second creation ordinance, the first one being the Sabbath. God performed the first marriage, and he said that what I have put together, man must not put asunder. Every marriage, once the people have made their vows, is considered a marriage made by God, because God instituted marriage. So there are some people who say, well, I really wasn't married under God. Before I was a believer, I really wasn't in Christ. And doesn't the Bible say that when you become a Christian, old things are passed away and all things are become new? Therefore, now my previous marriage was not under God. It was not in Christ. Now I'm in Christ, so I can do away with my previous marriage and I can get married again. Do you see the absolute nonsense of that kind of thinking? It is pure rationalization. It means it's utter foolishness, friend. For instance, let me ask you this. If you had a child before you're married, does the child suddenly not become your child? If you had a child before you got saved, before you came to Christ, does that child suddenly cease to exist because you came to Christ? Did the child pass away because all things have become spiritually new in your life? Come on. Let's get honest with ourselves and with God. There's no such thing as your marriage passing away because you came to Christ. That makes coming to Christ foolishness. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's talk about why it is that God hates putting away or hates divorce. The number one reason is because God created marriage. Marriage on earth is to be an earthly representation of the relationship of Christ and his church. It's inviolable. What God has joined together, man must not, cannot, shall not, and should not put asunder. That includes you, and that includes your pastor. That includes your favorite theologian. It includes everyone, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, because it's a universal creation ordinance for all mankind. God hates divorce, and what he hates, he doesn't approve. He doesn't change his hatred for divorce for you. He will not change his thinking about divorce because you have a difficult situation in your marriage. You see, for him to do that would make God totally undependable. He'd be like a yo-yo to go up and down at your whim. No, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I change not. So God's viewpoint concerning divorce has not changed and will not change, and it will not change for you. It's not just a generic viewpoint. In other words, that generally speaking, God hates divorce, except in certain situations. No, it is an always viewpoint. God doesn't make exceptions. He hates divorce. Period. Now, that having been said, he doesn't approve of divorce. God never approves of that which he hates. God never approves of sin. He hates sin, and he wants you to hate sin. If God hates divorce, you should hate divorce, and you should hate it for yourself, not just for the other guy. You should hate it for yourself. All right. So, Brenda says, I agree on almost everything you have to say, but you're always talking about divorce being wrong. That's the reason. The number two reason is because it's so prevalent, and it's more prevalent in the church among Christians than it is among non-Christians. That means that if we're going to have revival in our land, we must deal with that issue, and it has become the number one fulcrum issue for professing Christians to deal with. And that's why almost no prominent pastor or prominent parachurch leader will deal with this subject straight on. They won't deal with it. They'll just deal with it generically. But they will not deal with it specifically because so many of their constituency is engaged in it. On any given Sunday morning, between 40 and 50% of those sitting in the congregations of America are divorced, remarriage, fornicators, adulterers, according to biblical standards. Therefore, pastors that want to pander to their people's sensibility and lure fickle customers in and lure dollars out of their pocket to pay for their building projects are not going to tell their people the whole truth. That's why we must talk about it here on Viewpoint. All right, so we're talking about it as being wrong. Then she says, my question is, I got divorced before I got saved. All right, we've already dealt with the situation where a marriage before you got saved is as valid a marriage as one after you got saved. The fact you got married before you got saved in no wise invalidates your marriage. It's a creation ordinance. God says what has been put together with my blessing, that is, under the creation ordinance, man must not put asunder. So you say, well, how about divorce laws? Well, divorce laws in our time are like what divorce laws were in Moses' time. God allowed Moses to put together divorce laws, you see, for putting away because the people were hard of heart. The religious leaders of Jesus' day asked, they got on Jesus' case about this very subject, just as people would get on our case today. And the religious leaders came to Jesus and said, hey, isn't it appropriate for us to get divorce? Didn't Moses grant us a bill of divorcement? And Jesus said, yes, that's true, but from the beginning it was not so. In other words, it's never God's will, never God's intent. But Moses did that because of the hardness of your hearts. In other words, you refuse to obey God. You refuse to love your wives. Wives refuse to submit to their husbands. You're in the flesh. You're refusing, absolutely refusing to obey God. You're not submitting to his word, his will, or his ways. And therefore, because of that, in order to preserve a measure of social stability and decorum, Moses granted you a bill of divorcement. But God never, it was never God's design or will. Now that has not changed. It's still not God's design or will. It may be man's law to preserve social decorum because of men, the hardness of men's and women's hearts, but it is not God's will. All right, let's move on with another component of Brenda's question. She says, are you telling me that there is now no way I can go to heaven if I was divorced before I got saved and now I'm a Christian? Well, no, but you have remarried. You remarried after you became a Christian, Brenda. All right? And that's the situation that we're dealing with. What do we do? How does God look at a situation where a person was divorced before they became a Christian, then after they became a Christian, they remarried? All right? Here's what the Bible says. And it is very clear. There's no mistaking what the Bible says. There's no rationalizing around it. It's very, very simple. First of all, Jesus said this. This is the Lord of the church. He said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery. And whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. Now, is there anything about that we don't understand? I don't think so. So the person who marries after they have been divorced, if their spouse is still living, commits adultery. And the one who marries the person who was previously married, whose spouse is still living, commits adultery. Now, what does the Apostle Paul have to say about this? Would the Apostle Paul be in agreement with the words of Jesus? You bet. In 1 Corinthians 7:39, in fact, the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, is about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. As long as he lives. But if he be dead, then she's free to remarry. But only in the Lord. In other words, only to a fellow believer. Very clear cut, isn't it? There's no misunderstanding. It's very, very clear. We're married for life. If our spouse is deceased, we no longer are bound to that spouse, and then only are we free to remarry. Any other marriage is called adultery. Jesus called it adultery, and the Apostle Paul affirmed it. So now Brenda says, are you telling me that there is no way I can go to heaven? First of all, I'm not telling you anything, Brenda. I'm just repeating what Jesus said and what the Apostle Paul said. I'm not doing this. I'm just a servant, a voice, a mouthpiece, conveying to you what God has said. And it's the most compassionate thing that I can do to tell you what God has said, because men's viewpoints don't count. Your pastor's viewpoint doesn't count if it doesn't agree with what God says. Are you telling me now that there's no way I can go to heaven? No, not saying that. And we'll pick that up after this break. What I am saying is that you've committed adultery. Now, how is God going to look at that situation? Millions of professing Christians are caught in that right now. We'll talk about it when we get back. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Sandra writes, I just want to thank you for your boldness in teaching the permanence of marriage. It's refreshing to hear that there is someone brave enough to go on the air and teach it, not being afraid of popular opinion and the criticism it is sure to evoke. I listen to your broadcasts archived via the internet. Well, thank you, Sandra, for that word of encouragement. It is difficult because so many of our brothers and sisters are caught in this, in the quagmire of divorce and remarriage. It has happened as a result. It began back in the 60s with the free love movement. And then the no-fault divorce movement that began in California and swept across the country. All of that then was picked up with the God is Love movement in the church that abandoned the authority of God's word on virtually everything but love. And then came the Grace Awakening, and grace was pronounced Greece, which made it easy for people to live a worldly life and claim that they were following Christ, all because God loves me, and we had forgot about the justice and the judgment of God and that God hated sin. And during all of that period of time, divorce then was opened up in the church. Divorce, because no-fault divorce took place in the secular realm, then the church began to get soft on divorce. It was never such in the history of our country. If you want to find out what made America great and why we have lasted so long, one of the main reasons is because we believed God concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and as it was stated in the scriptures. It's only been in the last 40 years that we've seen any significant change whatsoever in our thinking in that regard. It's always been stable in America. Therefore, the family has been stable and has been the building block and the strength of our country. But the church began to open the Pandora's box. The biggest problem was not with the world, but with the church. When the church began to open the Pandora's box, first by allowing divorce, basically on the whim of people's feelings, because we became convinced through the rise of psychology that God's ultimate goal for people was happiness. When psychology came in to begin to rule the lives of we the people in the 60s and 70s, then the authority of God's word was substituted for the authority of psychology and the pursuit of happiness. Then we reasoned that if we were going to allow divorce, and if God wants us happy, then we should also permit remarriage. Well, nothing could have been further from the truth of God's word or from the practice of congregations historically in virtually every denomination going back to the very beginning of this country and back to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. But it changed in the last 40 years. The permission of remarriage when your spouse was still living was the final blow to the destruction of the family in America. And it was the church that made the blow to the family. It wasn't the world, it was the church. Because if the church had stood firm and been consistent in its beliefs, in its practices, in every denomination during that period of time, and would have continued to maintain that stance, we would not have the divorce debacle that we have in America today. But the church, God's people, and its pastors are the ones who are responsible. Last year, we had further capitulation on this as the Church of England, for the first time in its 450-year history, capitulated, changed its belief system, its convictions, since the beginning of the Church of England, and decided it was going to be okay to divorce and remarry. What was the motivation behind it? Well, Prince Charles wanted to get married to the woman who had had adulterous eyes on during his entire marriage with Princess Diana. And he had been living with her and was already involved in open and obvious adultery. And so the Church of England, supposedly in a compassionate move for Prince Charles and for the nation, decided to overturn 450 years of biblical conviction and allow divorce and remarriage when your spouse is still living. Then, the very same year, the Assemblies of God did the same thing. The fastest growing Protestant evangelical denomination in the world did exactly the same thing. Friends, I got to tell you, we don't believe God. We are ruled by our culture, and Christ is just our servant. You see, to do what we want to do. He's our house slave, but we don't obey him. No way, no how. And this issue, the matter of divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, is the critical issue for us. If we don't come to grips with this in repentance in God's house, you can never expect revival in our nation. Revival will begin first at the house of God. Judgment will begin first at the house of God. Let's go back to Brenda's questions. She says, are you telling me now that because I am remarried, that there is no way I can go to heaven and that my Christianity is in vain because I'm now remarried to a wonderful Christian man? First of all, the fact that he's a Christian man does not change God's viewpoint concerning your marriage, your remarriage, Brenda. I hate to say it, but just because we profess to be a Christian doesn't mean that God allows us to disobey his word. Now, if you were divorced and remarried and your spouse is still living, how can you go to heaven? That's the question. Are you saying that I cannot get to heaven? My answer to that is no. I'm not saying that you cannot get to heaven. I'm saying you must repent. The scripture says we must repent and believe the gospel. We must confess our sin. It is sin, God, both in terms of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Apostle Paul, both have clearly indicated that to remarry when your spouse is still living is sin. It is adultery. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God." So, Brenda's question then, how can I get to heaven? You must repent. You must confess your sin. I'm an adulterer. I have committed adultery, Lord, contrary to your word. I have sinned. Those are the three most important words for us. This is one of the reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he said, when confronted with his sin, I have sinned. He didn't skirt around it. He didn't play pretend. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I have sinned." Brenda, you must say, along with all the millions and millions of Christians, professing Christians who have divorced and remarried when their spouse was living, you must say, "I have sinned," and confess it as adultery, and be broken in your heart over your sin. You have to hate the sin, just like God does. God hates sin. It's the most compassionate thing that you can do. You must hate the sin. Now, I don't hate you. Hey, listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can't hate people who have sinned, but we have to hate the sin. Now, you must confess your sin, and then you must repent. That means you must turn from it. And this is the most serious issue, the most difficult, and I agree it is painfully difficult. How do you repent when you have been divorced and remarried and your spouse is still living? One position is that it's continuing adultery to live with that spouse. Therefore, you must separate from that spouse because it's continuing adultery. The other view is you confess your sin, you acknowledge it as sin, you determine never to do it again, and trust that God forgives you from that sin, and you continue with that spouse. I'm not going to tell you to leave that spouse. Okay? The scripture does say this: work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, because eternity is on the line. It's just not feeling good now. It's your eternal salvation that's on the line. You must make the decision. If I try to tell you, you'll say, "That pastor told me to do it." We'll be right back. Confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective here on Viewpoint today. We're answering your questions and particularly focusing on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We received an email from Brenda, a very sweet lady, and I think coming with legitimate questions, and we're breaking down her very short email into its component parts because there are so many aspects to it, and I think by answering her questions, we're going to answer many other questions that we receive concerning the matter of remarriage, adultery, and hope. All right, getting back to the matter of Brenda, if you're just tuning in, was saved, she was married and divorced. Then she got saved. After she got saved, she got remarried. She's been listening to the program. She says she's confused, agrees in almost everything that we have to say. But when it comes to divorce being wrong and remarriage being sinful when your spouse is living, she says, are you saying that I can't get to heaven? Is there no way I can get to heaven? Is my Christianity in vain because I'm now remarried to a wonderful Christian man? All right. Before we go further with answering her question, let me just go to a comment that Lynn made. She says, I've been following your broadcast for a while, but have never taken the time to express my appreciation for your faithful service, first to the truth of God's word and to the public. Having been touched by the current divorce remarriage trend, I stand in complete agreement with your biblical view. My late husband was a pastor, so I'm aware of the apprehension some might feel in presenting the truth to their congregations. But as a father who loves his child confronts the danger that threatens that child's well-being, the time for confronting the real threat of divorce remarriage is now. I pray for your continued passion and fervor to present the truth of God's word with compassion. And indeed, we are trying to do that with compassion, Brenda, and for all who are listening who are caught in this. Now, I've got to tell you that anybody who has been living in America for the last 40 years has been caught in the juggernaut of the apostasy, the drifting away of the church from the truth of Jesus Christ. Both pastor and people alike, parachurch leaders, seminarians, I care not who they are, we've all been caught in the juggernaut of this horrible apostasy. That's really what's happening, the apostasy of the church before the second coming of Christ. Now, that means that we've got to have tremendous compassion for one another, and I do. Let me tell you, this is a very painful thing. If you think I get joy out of having to declare truth that causes great pain for people to hear it and realizing that it's going to cause, they're going to have to make serious decisions in their lives that are going to have ramifications. Let me tell you, I'm aware of all of that. I don't say these things cavalierly, but my responsibility is to tell you what God has said. Our responsibility then is to respond to what God has said in humility and in honesty and integrity. Now, if we disagree with what God has said, then we're proud and arrogant and stubborn and rebellious. God is not going to allow a rebel into his heaven. He's not going to allow a stubborn person into heaven, because stubbornness and rebellion are as the sin of witchcraft, the scripture says. That's what God had a problem with the first king of Israel about, King Saul. He stripped the kingdom away from King Saul because he became proud, rebellious, and stubborn. Now, don't let those words characterize you. I certainly don't want them to characterize me, because those things will keep us out of the pearly gates. We must humble ourselves. The first characteristic of humility, the practical characteristic of humility, is agreeing with what God says. If we disagree with what God says in whole or in part, we are stubborn, rebellious, and proud. Period. I mean, that's the way it is. The scriptures portray it that way, and I know that you don't want to be caught in that situation, because you won't enter into his rest. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. You will not enter into Christ's rest. In other words, heaven, if you persist in rebellion, stubbornness, and pride. We must repent. We must confess our sin. Now, this applies to the divorce and remarriage issue, because if we disagree with what God has clearly said about this, what God has joined together, man must not put asunder, that's the first thing. Marriage is for life. Marriage is to reflect God's glory in the earth. Now, what happens then if, for whatever reason, we end up divorced, we remain unmarried, or be reconciled to our spouse? The Apostle Paul makes it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What we try to do is give all kinds of rationalizations, putting man's spin on what God has said. Don't do it. Do not yield to that temptation. Now, Brenda says, is my Christianity in vain because I'm now remarried to a wonderful Christian man? Well, your Christianity is not in vain, but you've got to come to grips with the fact that you have remarried when your spouse was still living, and that's adultery. That's sin. And the Apostle Paul said that that sin will keep you out of the pearly gates, as will all sin. We must repent, confess it as sin, and turn from it. What it takes to turn from remarriage when your spouse is still living, you must determine according to what the Scriptures say. I'm not going to tell you, Brenda, that you must leave that spouse. You must determine whether that's what's required in order to repent. Because if I were to try to tell you that, then you would come back and instead of taking responsibility for it, you'd say, that broadcaster told me, or that pastor told me, you see. No, you must take responsibility because the Scripture says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Because we have an awesome God. He is a God that doesn't play games. Yes, He's a loving God, but He's a consuming fire. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament tell us that our God is a consuming fire. He does not play footsie with sin. All right. Now, Brenda brings up that her first husband was picking up prostitutes. When her son was 10 years old, she said, I stayed with the man for 3 years, even after I found out what he was doing, but he never changed. I was terrified that he would give us the AIDS virus because he was picking up prostitutes from the street corner. Now, let me respond to that. You have every right to be terrified that you would pick up the AIDS virus. So what do we do in a situation like that? The first thing is that the husband has to come to grips with the fact that he is also in adultery, fornication, adultery, because he's linked himself now with a prostitute. Now, I don't know if he was a professing Christian or not. It makes no difference. The Word of God applies to all. And if this man was linking himself up sexually with a prostitute, he needs to repent. Now, if he does not, then what does the wife do? Well, the wife must remain available. Now, I did not say that she has to make herself available sexually to that husband so long as he persists in this behavior and is not declared clean by going and getting an AIDS test. If he's unrepentant, persists in that, what does the wife do? She must remain celibate and single. Even if she divorces, and I'm not suggesting that she would divorce, she can remain as if she were single and do everything that she can to love that husband without getting involved in a sexual relationship with him, sexual intercourse with him, until he's clean and repentant. But God does not give you the right to remarry. You say, well, God wants me happy. God wouldn't consign me to a lifetime of unhappiness and singleness, would He? Yes, He would. Because He wants you holy more than He wants you happy. You see, we have this idea that God changes His overarching purposes for us as individuals. We think He has generic purposes, but when it comes down to individual applications in our lives, He changes His role. That is not correct. God changes not, you see. So this wife then must remain with her husband, and even if there was a divorce, she must remain single and be willing to reconcile to that husband. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches, that's the implication of what Jesus teaches, and that is the only thing that brings the Scriptures together in integrity on this subject. So, yes, I have compassion with you concerning this AIDS virus. It's terrifying. Black women all across America are being are being the sacrificial lambs of their husband's promiscuity. It's terrifying. That's why we talk about it. Compassion requires that we talk about it and get serious about it. We can't keep playing these games. We've got to get honest. It's sin, and sin will kill you. It will kill you in this life, and it'll destroy you in eternity. Let's get serious with God on this issue, friend. That's what compassion will do. So, Brenda, thanks for your heartfelt question. God is in the forgiving and restoring business in the midst of a wicked and fallen world. Those who come to Him with humble and repentant hearts, He will in no wise cast out. All right? We've responded to this in great detail. I hope it's been helpful. You may not have wanted to hear what you heard, but it is what the Scriptures teach. Anything else is human rationalization. Please don't allow yourself the privilege of putting a spin on what God says. Even if everybody else is doing it, don't do it, my friends. It can kill you in this life, and it can destroy your hope for eternal life. Today is the day of salvation. Today, harden not your heart. Thanks for joining us. Would you consider becoming a partner with us as day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour? Yes, it's tough talk for these troubled times, but isn't that what God did whenever Israel wandered from the flock? He brought forth a prophetic voice to woo and to warn. That's what you've just heard, and you hear every day right here on Viewpoint. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you. And Brenda, God loves you. And He does have a hope and a purpose for you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host.